This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
What's up and welcome back to another Kind of Funny screencast, this time to episode 4 of HBO Max's and DC's Peacemaker. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Woo woo!
Woo woo. The big dog, Kevin Coelho.
What's up, man?
The producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Man, I tell you what, I love freedom.
Yeah, you do. That's the one thing I always talk about when Nick Scarpino comes up. Freedom. Of course, this is Kind of Funny screencast where each and every week we get together to talk about the latest in TV and movies and movie trailers. We react to all of them. You can find the Moon Knight trailer if you're watching this. We reacted to it. You can go check that out. And also Boba Fett, the book of Boba Fett. We're doing weekly reactions to each and every episode as they air, just like we're doing to this show, Peacemaker, that you can find over on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. If you want to get it as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny screencast and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad free and if you wanted to watch live as we record it, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers Molecule, James Davis Makes, and Pranksy have all done. We appreciate you all so very, very much. If you want to write into this show, you got to go to kindoffunny.com/screencast to write in your questions, theories, and thoughts, just like someone named Greg Miller did that just said two avocados. I don't know what that's in reference to.
But yeah, you do.
My boy's Nick and Kevin do.
So yeah, you can go to kindoffunny.com/screencast to write in your productive comments, questions, theories, etc., etc. But without further ado, let's get into it. Episode 4 of Peacemaker. Earlier in the last episode, I guess we only did one because it was episodes 1 through 3 first. I said that every episode was written and directed by James Gunn. That is not true. Every episode is written by James Gunn. James Gunn directed most of the episodes of the season. He directed 1 through 3 and did not direct this one. So there is that. There is that. But let's talk about it. Episode 4, Greg Miller.
I was going to actually start where you started. The fact that when it pops up and it was directed not by James Gunn, I was like, okay. Like I started to think and wonder, like, would this not feel the same? Would it not look the same? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Those fears I came to find were unfounded, right? Like, I think it's another great episode. I think it's another hilarious episode, right? Like, my one critique on the show, hold on, I always forget the character's name, is that I don't vibe with their boss, Mern. Like, Mern, I don't like, it's not the actor, it's not the performance, it's just the way they've put him in there makes him feel like knockoff Amanda Waller. Like, I meant to bring this up with episode 1, but I never did. When they start episode 1 and he's introduced, I was like, oh, they couldn't afford Viola Davis, so this is going to be Amanda Waller. And then, of course, she gets that little cameo at the end talking to her daughter. And again, it's like, oh, they got a cameo because they can't afford Viola Davis. I got it. And it's fine, but this is going to sound goofy considering the last scene, but he doesn't differentiate himself enough from Amanda Waller, if that makes sense. Like, granted, obviously, he's a butterfly at the end. They're going to go, we're about to go to a different territory with him. But throughout the rest of it, he's still so much Waller-like that I'm just like, eh. And I know he's funnier than that. He has a different range. It's just the one thing for me where I'm like, I just don't like this. I wish they had gone a completely different direction with this.
Just to interject there, I do totally feel where you're coming from. I like, though, that he has beef with Waller. Like, sure. And I think that is something that we'll have to see the end of the show and like where it goes with it. But I like the idea that he is just another Waller, but he doesn't like Waller, doesn't like the way she does things, especially now with this reveal. Who the hell knows where it's going? But
sure.
I'm willing to give them the benefit of like letting them tell the story throughout. But like I do agree with you that so far it does kind of seem like, okay, like this is a character we've seen before.
Yeah. But again, that's like the most minor complaint for the show, I think, overall. And this episode, I thought was great. And I think it was a great episode for Vigilante. Like, I really liked him throughout the entire way, right? Like, I enjoyed, obviously, the fallout from his toe. I enjoyed him, you know, being upset with Peacemaker on his toe. I really loved everything with him and Tasty outside of the thing. Vigilante? No, I have no idea what you're talking about. And the way that escalated and the way he got tried to get around
it. The part later, she's like, that was Vigilante? And he's like, shut up.
And then, you know, how he... Like getting him into jail like is such a goofy idea, but then to get him in there and be like, oh right, the guy can fight, like I forgot about that part. He fucks people up and was awesome there, and I like that. And then I really, you know, it's such an interesting arc for him just in the episode of being, you know, hurt, getting in there and you're like, what are you doing, being a badass in there, and then getting picked up in the car by Holstrom or whatever, hardcore. And getting in the car and being like having this legit moment of sadness for him and sympathy from her, right? Of like, I think I've made things worse. And he's like crying. I was like, oh, like that hit me. And it's like, man, like for a character who's my critique number in episode one was like, I didn't like how Adrian acted when they got introduced. And then throughout it was just like, all right, he's Vigilante. I don't know what it is. I thought it was a great episode for him.
Kevin.
I also really enjoyed it. I thought like the ending of this episode like left me being like, I can't believe I'm so invested in this story. Like I would be more than happy to just be there for the laughs, but like I care now. And it's crazy to like, I never thought I'd be into a DC show and like be like, oh man, I really want to find out what the hell's going on with these butterflies.
Yeah.
You know, cause they're all over the place. It's the humor's so good. I love Vigilante so much. Everything he does, the moments, it's so interesting, the moments where he like is just kind of like no emotion, you know, where he's just like kind of a zombie walking around like, I'm gonna go do this thing, I'm gonna go grab this thing and break the window so that I get arrested and I can kill the dad. And it's like it's interesting to also see like Waller's daughter slowly start moving the pieces around and being like, oh, I can, Vigilante will kill it, will fix this problem if I just, you know, edge him a little bit. It's so cool. Yeah, it's so cool to see like the characters growing and stuff. Like, because all of that is mixed in so well.
Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm loving this show. This is definitely another episode for me where I immediately wanted to watch the next episode and then the next episode after that, which I think is just the mark of a really fun show. There's a moment in this where John Cena jumps out the window of their piece of shit headquarters, the second story,
and
lands like a superhero, and then walks into just a random parking lot and goes, rematch, motherfucker! And then Judo Master kicks his ass again. And that whole sequence to me is just indicative of what this is. It's fun. There's, of course, the little moment where he's like, they're not what you think. And then, of course, Leota shoots him, fulfilling her sort of like, a promise to Harcourt that she'd be there and be worth it. And then that just the dialogue where he's like, he'll be fine. He's a martial arts master.
He breathes again. He'll just
move his liver up into his heart's place and it'll take over for him. And she's like, that literally doesn't happen. And then he starts breathing. Like, God, I love this show.
It's happened a couple of times.
So you have moments like that, but then you also have the incredible, I thought, really good performance by John Cena where he's remembering this horrible shit his dad put him through and what happened to his brother. And he's crying on the floor as he's listening to the rock music after having just smoked out a butterfly. And then Eagly's like playing with it. And it's just like the show, I like it because the show is rated R and it uses the full spectrum of what rated R means, right? It's not just raunchy. There's not just sexuality in it. There's the actual really hard hitting kind of drama in this as well. And specifically this episode. To go back to something that Greg said for the Mernz character, though, I liked last week's episode where he like tried to relate to Dyedbeard, where he's like, I'm trying to grow as a human being and express emotions. Like, you've never expressed the fact that you're cold. You've never told anyone you're cold before. Is there chilly, whatever it is. He's like, yeah. So and you see that. But I'm curious now with him as the leader of this thing, and he actually legitimately feels like, you feel that he's legitimately trying to kill these butterflies. That what is the score here now that we know that he's one of them?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I'm with you guys. I'm still loving this show. And I'm with Kevin in the sense that I can't believe that I am intrigued in the story as much as I am. I'm not surprised I'm into the jokes as much as I am. But, dude, credit to them. Like, I love how two episodes in now of Screencast, like we're just quoting jokes left and right and like just throwing things out there because there's so much to love and laugh at. And like so many of the jokes are earned, not just because they make us laugh, but because they're building a story and a narrative and character, which is my favorite thing for any of these superhero things. But even just like the dumb little character moments like Judo Master, what Nick's talking about, John Cena jumping out that window, doing one of the dopest superhero landings I've ever seen. Like it was really impressive. And then he comes out and it's like this 8-bit Western music playing, like total video game fight thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like a tumbleweed goes by, but it's a potato chip bag, and all the jokes they've had with Judo Master, like setting this up with the hot Cheetos,
the potato chips,
like like super fun to watch. And like the idea of John Cena, who I spent 50 minutes last week talking about how funny just him being the way he looks is, and they just use that to such great extents. That combined with this hulking man fighting a 2-foot tall dude, it's so fucking funny, but it's also a good fight. That is such a hard balance to like hit, and they do it really well in this show, where it is about telling a story, it's about making this laugh, and it's about being a superhero thing. It's about being in the DC universe, and I think they balance that in a way that shouldn't work at all, but it absolutely does. And I can't wait. The end of this episode, I was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, and I cared about the butterfly stuff. Now I really want to know what the hell is going on with it.
Well, that's the thing. You know, we talked about, you know, Nick talked about the spectrum. You're talking about how it's funny. It's just, I didn't expect there to be so much heart in it. You know what I mean? When we watched Suicide Squad, I didn't leave thinking Peacemaker had this much heart to him and depth to him. And obviously James Gunn is incredibly talented, but the fact that, like at the end that like, there's no more room there's no more home in my house of pain or whatever, the song they're playing over his like alcohol mental breakdown, remembering his, it looks like the death of his brother, like murdering somebody, and then like even Eagly and the butterfly rolling up to him, like that's such a goofy visual that like actually hits, because me as a viewer, I'm watching it being like, I want someone to hug him, right? I want him to listen to Tasty when she's like, you know, no, your dad was a bad person, and like you don't have to listen to blah blah blah. But in that same breath, right, like the quote I wrote down from the very the beginning of the show, right, when he goes to talk to his dad, I'm no rat, but first chance I get, I'm spilling everything I got. Like that, like that is like,
you
like,
are
like,
a rat.
Compare yourself to a little cock. Like it's such a spectrum of a show.
I also love the I love the conflict with the old man. Every time he goes to the house, the guy's just there fucking with him. And I love it's well worn territory, obviously. But to hear a DC comic character live action be like, Batman is a pussy and like needs to start killing people. Yeah. He's like, think about all the people that died because he let that clown out of prison. And just having that be like a quick reality moment where you're like, oh, in this world somewhere, Batman exists and Superman exists. And this is that same world where John Cena's running around in white underwear, just completely half naked. I love this show. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, like the music cues, right? Again, we were talking about it last week. I think this episode, it does it the best that the show's done so far, and it's already done it great. But using music to not only have a fun moment, not only have a cultural touchstone for us to be like, oh, it's that song, but to kind of use the song and its meaning and its not just the meaning of the lyrics, but like the feeling of the music itself to kind of back up the entire storytelling and what they're trying to do here, and using it for, again, everything we're talking about of the comedic effects, character moments, and just kind of what the show is. But there was the montage towards the end where we see John Cena like really having this really dark moment, but then also kind of cycling through all the different characters in the show. And I think that this episode really kind of solidified for me leveling up the entire cast of characters in that montage, where I realized I'm not waiting to go back to any one character. Like, I am invested in all of you in whatever way. I want to know what it is that this character is feeling at this moment. Like seeing like Harcourt or whatever in the car by herself, and like dealing with at that bar when he goes to see her, but then also just going through and Waller's daughter, and like everyone's going through stuff that, we're only 4 episodes into this, which I guess is 4 hours of content. Like that is
a lot,
fair amount of time. But I think they're making good use of the time to make us actually care in all the elements together.
It's true. I mean, and that's spot on, right? That's one of the things that we thought about when we first saw this. We're like, wait, they're taking the team from Suicide Squad that we really didn't know too much about, that seem all like secondary characters, and those are going to be the real the leads.
They were.
Show.
very minor characters.
Oh in yeah, Suicide I mean, we Squad, got yeah. What, like how many lines did we get from any of them in Suicide Squad? Maybe yeah. like a handful, right? Not too many. But the fact that we actually, you're right, Tim. They could go off and tell even the Murn story, where we're like, I want to know what's going on with him, and he might be. I mean, they can tell fascinating stories to any of these people. I feel like I know them, and I feel like I want their adventures to continue. And I think a good part of that also is the fact that John Cena is not an overly, like, overpowered character. Like, Peacemaker is sort of just his specialty is that he's kind of a psychopath, and not even so much so to here. So it gives them a lot more room to play with as far as the character dynamics and, like, what they bring to the table. But I also like Vigilante. So Murn, I was fine with. Vigilante was the character that I was like, I think this character might start wearing a little thinly for me. But this episode, I think he kind of turned around when he picks up the trash can and he has to like pull it over to the window and then just throws it in. And like, what are you doing? I don't have to tell you that.
I mean, dude, that scene is, I think, another perfect example of this show working in spite of itself, where that same joke wouldn't be funny in another show and we'd be complaining like, oh, that scene went on too long. But James Gunn's humor just kind of is so understood and I think well written enough, like in this case, where seeing Vigilante grab the trash can and like struggle to drag it in this, like, just surrounded by cops, and the cops don't even care about him because he's just this like scrawny dude. It plays out in such a funny way that like I think it perfectly lasts his welcome, where by the time he throws it at the thing and it doesn't break through and it just kind of bounces off again. Last week it was the John Cena being thrown through the wall during the fight. This was that moment for me where we all saw that coming, but somehow it was still funnier than I even expected it to be.
It was. And my I mean, I was kind of stupid going into it. I was like, is he trying to break into the prison? But then obviously the second he hit the ground, I was like, oh, he's trying to get arrested so we can just walk into this holding facility. I'm with you, though. And then I was like, well, I mean, it was smart, right? And then the idea of, I mean, that just that sit down with the white supremacists and him just fucking like no bullshit, just handing them their asses
all
at the
off.
End
all
of it.
Bullshit, yeah.
Just like. What a powerful and crazy ass scene to have just in the smack dab in the middle of your episode. And then, of course, coming out and being like, that was, I think I may have made things worse, and realizing that he just kind of probably drove the final nail in the coffin between his only friend, really, and his friend's father. And again, shout out to Robert Patrick, right? Jason Patrick?
Yeah.
Robert Patrick.
Yeah.
Who's just a great bad guy. He's just a
fantastic
piece of shit.
What a great old racist!
Yeah, he's a good antagonist.
But I mean,
he's fantastic. I'm joking.
Yeah,
you want to see more of it. You want to be like, what the hell is this white dragon up to? You know, because he's the only one. Like they all the white supremacists that were with him started taking the bait, and he was like, "Fuck that! I know what you're doing. You're trying to make it look like we attacked you.
We attacked you, so you can kill us." Mm-hmm. I also love that, just going back a little bit, I love the scene where John Cena goes into the house, into like the interdimensional, whatever pocket storage area, and Vigilante follows him in there. And you just have, he has that wonderful moment. And only, I mean, John Cena's great, just great in this moment, where he picks up the helmet that he's like, I think this can help me, which I think is the X-ray helmet, right? So he can see inside of people to see if they have butterflies in them.
Yeah.
And then just like does what everyone else would do. Why don't you take all the helmets? And he's like, shit, yeah, you're right. I just start throwing all the helmets into the bag. I would have taken all the tech myself. But then you've got that great moment where Vigilante like looks up and he sees the white dragon costume and it's exactly like his costume. He's like, oh, you gotta be careful. There's weak spots there in between the plates, which I have to imagine was a little bit of an homage to like Nolan's Batman, right?
Also set up for the future.
Maybe set up for the future. Yeah, I guess that's probably true. Yeah.
I love the duck in the human costume joke was just so
One for me that I was like, this doesn't work.
Really?
And then when you get to the end and you just see the full improv that John Cena did, I was like, all right, I'm giggling now.
Dude, John Cena is a gift to humanity. Like those type of scenes where whether it's improv or a script that he's reading off, like those absurd monologues, whatever it is, he nails them with such conviction that I just don't understand how somebody could act that way. Because like John Cena is always that weird balance of like, is he a good actor or is he just good at being John Cena? And I think that Peacemaker is proof that John Cena is a fucking fantastic actor. He is really, really good at nailing lines and hitting things, where I don't think a lot of that was improv. I think it was him kind of like acting out a scene and they just cut it earlier because they didn't want it to run that long, yeah. but they still wanted to show us, and I appreciate that.
Well, either way, it's impressive, right? Because if it is improv, kudos to John Cena's improv mm-hmm. chops. And if it is the lines, like, he's nailing the mark. And I would say, like, he's definitely – he's. I mean, I got a lot of respect for the guy because it's easy being a goofy sort of sidekick like he was in – what was the one where, with the parents where he had to go find the kids?
Cock blockers.
Cock knockers.
Cock blockers, yeah. right? That's – I think he kind of filled that specific, like role in that a little bit easier. But this is – he's a lead in this. And I really do think he's spread his wings, and I think he's put a lot of time and effort, and he's carrying scenes a lot better than he ever has. Mm-hmm. I still wouldn't go out on a limb and say he's a great actor yet, but I'd still think he dip more into, like, he's more better at being John Cena than he is anything else. But I definitely think he's getting it.
I would
before we move on, though, let me tell you about our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by HelloFresh. Sticking to your New Year's resolutions can be hard, but if you're focusing on saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or prioritizing your wellness, smashing your goals is a piece of cake with HelloFresh. HelloFresh has endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable by delivering pre-portioned ingredients to your door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week. HelloFresh has 50 menu and market items to choose from every single week, including some more family-friendly or gourmet choices. Kevin Coelho, Paula Coelho, they've been loving HelloFresh. They, of course, Paula, being a vegetarian, like the options of having the vegetarian stuff, and they've been having some fantastic meals over there in their Coelho household. Go to HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny16 and use code kindoffunny16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/kindoffunny16 and use code kindoffunny16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. It's Greg Miller.
I would say, good, great is a different, I guess, spectrum of it, but like, For me, it's not the peacemaker moments of him being full blown peacemaker that make me go, oh man, that's mm-hmm. when he's being John Cena. He's right. being, you know, a lot. He's being, goofy, right. It is like that. What we're talking about, this final scene from this episode for him, right? Of him getting drunk and just rocking out and then falling down in like the, I guess, fear and hurt in his eyes, let alone then, when he's crying on the bed, let alone then when he's like trying to defend why trying to defend to Vigilante why he loves his dad or why he won't kill his dad. Like, that's the stuff where I'm like, oh, he's doing something mm-hmm. that's dimensional with this character that isn't the Suicide Squad peacemaker that was, I'm John Cena, look at my cock and my tidy whities, look, I'm saying crazy stuff and my, you know, that's cool shit. Everyone wants to see cool shit or show off cool shit when it's cool shit.
Damn, that's right. Yeah, I feel you. And, you know, on that, like, I will dial that back a little bit because those scenes really, I think, are the standout moments for
him. They're really strong, yeah.
I think he's really, really, really strong in those. And, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, again, you look at John Cena from The Marine versus John Cena now, and it's night and day. I mean,
did you watch The Marine?
Hell, I saw The Marine in theaters, bro. I love The Marine, man. Kudos to the man because he's carrying this and he's got my vote. I want to see more seasons of this. I want to see this thing continue and I want to see more episodes of it for sure.
Yeah, I really liked the line where him and Vigilante were talking about Peacemaker's dad. And he was saying, like, he's racist, but I still love him. And I feel like that scene was so good and so thematically relevant to like what this show is trying to say.
Yeah.
But to really kind of put yourself in James Gunn's shoes as him writing this show in between all of the Disney going into DC, going back to Disney, like all of that stuff, that being followed up with Vigilante responding to him and in kind of like a very quick Vigilante-esque character turn of him being like, yeah, you know, my parents did kind of like my dad turned gay because of this, whatever. Like, it is him immediately being like, John Cena's character, I trust you implicitly. Like, you are right. And like, I respect you, even though I think you're wrong about things. Like, I respect you. And I think those two like kind of dialogue bits back to back is really representative of James Gunn kind of just being like, look, there's layers to all of this in any which way. And there's a lot of problematic elements, even for positive things, even when something is clearly wrong. And like, let's just take a second to like appreciate that, like, connections between people like really matter and can affect you and who you are and all this stuff. And I just thought that was really good. And I didn't expect it to be that on the nose and to hit as hard as it did. Well, and to like be backed up with like relevant themes where we're literally talking about some of like the worst villains we've ever seen in anything in the form of the White Dragon.
Yeah, I mean, and on that note, like, I think that conversation between them had a lot of subtext. And I like that John Cena doesn't explain it away in any rationale other than he's my dad.
Right? Yeah,
like,
I just love him.
That's it. I love him. Like, and that's, and it's, you understand that. You get it. I mean, the guy is an irredeemable person, but he's family. And I think there's, that speaks to the character's goodness, where he's like, there's just something in there that I still love because he's my dad and I can't stop loving him, right? Even though he's just a despicable character, even though I recognize that. And I reckon he's starting to recognize those traits, obviously, in himself. We have the moment with him in Hardcore where he has this heartwarming moment with her where he's like, what happened? What's in my dad's file? Like, he doesn't want everyone to know, or what's in my file. He doesn't really want everyone to know what happened when he was a kid, because it was an extraordinarily traumatic event. And then, of course, as he's leaving, he puts that shield back up and has to hit on her and make this horrible sexist comment about her. And she kind of rolls her eyes.
But even that comment, your tits look stellar in that shirt. And I mean that as a compliment. I don't mean it in a sexist way. Like, it's such James Gunn writing, which, again, it's kind of just like, it makes us laugh because it's inappropriate. But the use of the word stellar, like, that's what separates James Gunn to me from other people. It's like, he just knows the right words to make us laugh. Even if it's saying something that is making us laugh for the wrong reasons. I feel like more often than not, there is a layer to it of actual comedy being added that I like a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Here's my question for you guys. A, what do we think happened to the brother? And is that relevant to the story now? And B, what the heck's going on with the butterflies?
I think, if I may, with the brother, it seems like the dad pinned them against each other, right? That's what I assumed.
Yeah, but he was having a seizure, right? He was having some sort of like...
Well, I think he probably got knocked down, hit his head, had a seizure. And now his dad blames him for it, kind of thing.
Okay.
Like, oh, you killed the perfect child. But, I also think that, like,
that's interesting though, Kev, like to question that, and just I don't think that I'm right about this, but I thought that that's what they were kind of setting up before we actually saw what happened. So I thought it was more like that. Yeah, he pit him against him. He was involved, but like, is he actually involved at all, or was he just there?
Because it looked like there was other kids around, right? And I don't know if they were watching the fight or if like they got picked on by other kids or something like that. And John Cena's characters like couldn't stop them from beating his brother's ass or something like that.
Was that the kids?
Do we know that?
I thought there was
trying to rewind it.
Yeah,
I thought they were on like a fishing trip. Like
remember this completely differently.
Yeah, I thought.
Well, it is
an image. No, there's definitely other people around.
Okay,
around.
It's very short though. The interaction, right?
Yeah, well, this is definitely the exactly what they want. It's an East, the teaser for next episode.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna be that they are squaring off, and I don't know if it's him fighting Peacemaker, if it's Peacemaker on the sidelines that you're talking about, but it's definitely people around cheering in like a pit or around a pit as they fight.
That's what I thought. It looks kind of like a dirt pit, right?
Yeah.
So I'm curious if maybe they were fighting each other, or I mean, maybe Kevin was right. Yeah, maybe looking at that context, maybe they are fighting each other and he just was not supposed to win. Maybe he was his dad.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that I believe that, yeah, again, dad didn't like him, made him fight each other, or they fight for, trying to get his attention.
And then, of course, there's that other gut-wrenching scene we touched on a little bit, where he's just like thinking about how he had to kill that guy. His dad with the amazing mullet made him kill.
Amazing this poor guy mullet.
Just great mullet. Just a Joe Dirt level mullet, which I think, Tim, if you're asking, yes, of course, that is my 100% for mullets as far as I'm concerned, Joe Dirt.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the top. A wig, just so you know. Canonically, a wig.
Bad wig. Yeah, bad
it's
wig.
It's Mullen Mullets with Nick Scarpino.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Mullen Mullets. Go, shout out to Robert Patrick for just rocking that hair. Just show me what old age can look like with a whole lot of finasteride, which is the hair pill.
Mm.
What about the butterflies? What do we think they're going to be? What is our prediction for butterflies?
Go for it, Kev. Go for it.
Oh, I'm just going to say, like, they're here to just live. Like, whatever. Their planet got exploded or something. They're, like, migrants or something. Immigrants to Earth. And I think that we're kind of, like, aggressively hunting them. For maybe not the right reasons. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm curious. Greg, any thoughts?
This is the one that's recontextualized everything, right? Because, like, I was not 100% set, but I thought it was going to be a Mr. Mind tie-in. Because, remember, at the end of Shazam, they show him. And then in episode one, I think it is, at one point, it might be when we're going into the apartment, John Cena's just had sex with a girl or whatever. They pan past the tree, and there's a bit, they linger for a second on a green worm-like guy on a tree branch. And that's when, it is the woman's house. And the woman goes crazy and starts fighting. And I was like, oh, okay. But then it turned out to be the butterflies, and I was like, oh, okay. But then, like, remember,
caterpillars turn into what, Greg?
butterflies. And there's the thing we've seen too of when Cena finally opened the little trophy and it looked like a little ship, that like a little thing. And I was like, oh, well, that's how Mr. Mind came to America, Earth. But the problem is, like, it just doesn't seem like, I don't, if it's not vibing with me, because like, if they're good, why would it be a Mr. Mind thing, right? And maybe they're not good, maybe it's another swerve or whatever, but the fact that, like, yeah, it was a, you know, Judo's like, it's not what you think it is, which we think it's bad, so it's probably good. Like, okay, are they here then to try to, like you said, are they refugees? Are they here to try to keep Earth from killing itself, kind of thing? Earlier too, like, Insect Queen had been kicked around a lot. I was like, that makes sense too, but like, not for this, not for that angle. So I don't know. It could still be Mr. Mind thing. It could be, they could be led here, you know, because they know Mr. Mind's here. I don't know.
That's interesting. Something I want to put out there that I don't necessarily think is going to be the case, but could be with how they set this up. So the twist of having Mern be a butterfly got all of us. We didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. The fact that Waller's daughter, what's her name? Leota. The fact that she like shot Judo Master, like when she did and how she did, it kind of leads me to believe like she might know more than she's letting on, or not, but like that timing was a little coincidental to me, that I wouldn't be surprised if, because of her mom and because of whatever, she is more involved in the butterfly stuff than we think.
We also do have a moment where she's on the phone with her mom, right? I don't remember if this episode passed, but she's like, I don't understand why we don't just tell them, and she's like, don't worry about that, like we're like, we got our plan, kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. So it seems like, obviously, no one's talked to Peacemaker about it, but I think that the three of the people that are still in the team that aren't Leota, like, they're being lied to too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, lots of questions.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it. I love being on it.
Yeah. Question I have for you, for everybody, but for Greg specifically. Yeah. One of the funniest jokes of the episode to me was John Cena kind of interrupting Vigilante in the beginning, be like, oh, it's like this one time where blah blah blah, and he like kept talking
to Matt Reader lad.
Yeah, that. And then it was just like, why are you being distracted? That was hilarious to me. Who is he saying? I needed subtitles.
Matter eater lad. So like a lad that would eat matter.
Okay. Which I don't remember. Was he in Suicide Squad?
No.
Or was that just a reference to a random thing?
No.
That was a random thing.
Yeah, it's you know, James Gunn's bread and butter of like, here's a D-list DC super hero, right? He was Legion of Superheroes, right? And like
yeah, that's
a stupid. But there he is. Yeah, it's like the most iconic image of him for sure.
Yeah, I looked that up and I giggled. I saw that same image come up and I giggled about it. And he's like, you know, Wendy's.
That's so funny. I kept hearing what I wrote down in my notes was man eater laugh.
No, matter eater.
I rounded back a couple times to grab that too. And again, you know, some of those scenes, some of that comedy and that stuff gets a little bit rushed with the delivery and things like that, which is we're evolving as we evolve with these characters. But
it does make it feel to me more conversational.
Yeah. I do think that there's like every now and again with a lot of these shows, and I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm just slowing down on myself, but you see a lot of these characters. I just want the director to be like, let's do one more take. Slow that down just a little bit.
You're getting old.
Just enunciate it just a little bit, because you're starting to rush through these lines so much. And it happens in all of these shows for some reason. There's always one moment where I'm like, I wish you had another take on that, because it was a good line, but you rushed right through it.
Two things I really liked about Vigilante were him just driving in glasses. There was something about that made me laugh. And like, I think that's another example of like, James Gunn just knows what's funny. It's like this one dumb little thing that like just adds to the ambiance of it all. Yeah. But him getting caught just as a dude out of costume, being called out that you're Vigilante, and him starting to use a different voice. It's like, it's so funny that I don't know how we're this far into superhero stuff, comedic or otherwise. And like, the idea of a superhero using a different voice in his normal life.
Yeah.
Like a fresh take. Like, that's pretty funny.
Ridiculous. God, I had one more thing I want to talk about. I can't remember now. Everyone, nope, don't say a thing, anyone. Sit in silence.
Everybody shut up.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. The you know, those glasses that he wore and his hair reminded me of Night Owl from Watchmen when he
showed up
in a costume.
Yeah.
He looked a lot
had like, or what, late 80s early 90s dad vibes of like what you like a Danny Tanner, rest in peace.
Oh, RIP. Bob saying it.
Talking about Vigilante, I really like him, and I think overall I lean on the side of like, he's my dude. I get why there's some hesitation with him. And I think because of how close he is to Ryan Reynolds' performance of Deadpool and how similar like the costume and like not seeing a face and all that stuff is. But like, honestly, I really think that he does a very good Ryan Reynolds-ish take on this character. That's a hard thing to pull off. And I think that Ryan Reynolds is just so 10 out of 10 at it that it can kind of like make us feel like, oh, it's a little derivative and it's not as good. But like, I actually think Vigilante's really, really good in this. For the most part, and like that's, I mean, same thing I could say about Deadpool, but like, I really like this actor, and like, I don't know who the hell he is, but I'm impressed by his performance so far.
Kevin
like,
knows
the
him.
More I'm seeing it. Oh, what do you know him from?
Tell him, Kevin.
Don't say Succession. Is everyone in Succession?
Tell him, Kev.
I don't remember what you're talking about, Greg.
Harry Potter. He's in Harry Potter.
Is he?
Oh, he's in Harry Potter?
Yeah. Who's in Harry Potter?
According to the IMDb, Cormac McLeggan.
Oh, I actually do remember that kid.
That's weird.
Who is he?
That's he's from the party when they go to the Slughorn things, right? That's the guy that wanted to take
Hermione on a date. The kids in the menagerie, whatever it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Tim, no, I think. Come on, you remember?
Come on, Tim.
Come on.
Tim, come on.
I think Vigilante gets the benefit of the doubt for me because I don't have any context for the character whatsoever. So to
I
me,
don't
it's
think anyone
like,
does.
He's super D-list, like not even a real character to me. So we're starting from scratch, which is why, like, obviously there's just way less importance on that character. But he's grown on me. I'm not gonna lie, he has grown.
Yeah, no, I definitely dig him, and every episode I like him more. I think this is a great episode for him. The one thing, and this is not to take away from Freddie Stroma's performance whatsoever, and this is strictly for such a small percentage of the audience, let alone people watching you guys right now. Every time I watch it, I'm like, I would have loved to have seen the Danny Mac audition of this.
Oh my god!
Like he strikes me so much as Danny Mac from Heel Kick.
Whoa!
One of our friends of the show.
That's really funny.
Really good. Yeah.
Well, I do love how much John Cena dancing we get in this, and continue to get in this. I also love seeing seeing a shot of Peacemaker. God, not Peacekeeper, Peacemaker.
Peacemaker.
The rest of our lives. Seeing him out of costume was jarring and weird. Like. We've seen him in his costume so much. We've seen him in his underwear so much. But seeing him in just like a
regular
jacket
clothes,
and a t-shirt at the bar, I was just like, this feels fucking weird. But like, I love that he wears his costume that much in normal situations that seeing him out of it is like awkward as hell.
Well, it was also interesting when he was out of it, right? Like he changed out of his costume to go to the bar to talk to Hardcore about that one very important thing. And so he kind of let his armor down, let his guard down a little bit there to come hat in hand and ask about that. And she, I think, lied to him probably. But that was a good scene for sure.
And we haven't even talked about the pinky toe stuff, really.
Oh, that was a question I had for Kevin. Kevin, can you walk without your pinky toe?
I don't know. I think so. I think
I'm shocked you don't know the answer.
I should have
looked
it
down, Kev.
Yeah.
Boo, Kevin.
I think you can. It just
I love how much like random things just keep coming back in the show. Like, oh yeah, that kid was so homely. Like that is just like, that's so fucking funny.
But he was like, it actually made it worse because I started feeling bad for the kid.
Yeah. But like that's so funny. But the various ways the pinky toe joke kept coming back in this episode was so fucking funny to me, where it's just like, yeah, you might fall down, and then everyone's gonna laugh at you. It's like that's just so fucking good.
And the sadness of that conversation back and forth of the codependency that he's got with Peacemaker, where he's just like, starts just agreeing with him, where he's like, yeah, I mean, he's like, be careful when he gets arrested by the cops. He's like, I have an injury here. It's my pinky toe. I could definitely walk without it, but I just want you guys to know there is an injury here to be aware of. That was kind of sad.
you definitely can walk without it. It's fine.
That's what I figured.
But like, I feel like had they acted quickly enough, they could have definitely gotten sewed back on. Because it was only half off.
I don't think it fell off. I think he was just like, I think it was, last time we saw it, it was just bloody.
I don't think that he gets proper medical treatment. Like, he's just hanging out. Like, maybe when he gets arrested, if he makes a big deal about it, they'll be like, we have to do something about this.
Yeah. Well,
I kind of
have to at least sew it up, right?
Because they get you naked, right?
Yeah, they definitely delouse you and they put things in you and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Also, Nick, the guy that I was thinking about, he was also the Quidditch like captain.
Was he the Quidditch captain? That's the same guy?
I don't know if this is the same guy. It might be. He was definitely part of the Slughorn 12. I just made that part up. The Slughorn 12.
I just feel like he was in the seventh one. But maybe no, because that guy had a hardcore Scottish accent in the first one. The Quidditch captain was like, "I gotta give you the budger, the bludger, and the quadridge."
Yeah, you're Remember? Right. So yeah, you're right. Guy,
maybe Greg's crazy, dude. I think Greg's crazy. I don't think this kid's ever been.
Well, I mean, I'm mixing crazy, people right? up. Not I'm mixing me, ladies people and up.
Gentlemen.
One of my favorite lines in this that wasn't a joke, but just like as a thing that I've never heard said in this way before, and like I really liked, was her being like, "You ain't killing it right now." When Vigilante was like doing it, like talking and shit, I just thought that was like really, really funny. And like, I liked Leota in this episode more than I've liked her in the rest of the show, and I've enjoyed her so far. Like, this episode to me elevated everybody. So,
yeah,
good for you guys. Can't wait for next week.
Even,
holy shit,
even Ecoms. Diebeard.
Oh.
Because they like Ecoms gets the shit beat out of him. You know, why walk away? People need to zip tie people. If you're in a situation where you've captured an unstoppable killing machine, zip tie him as much as possible. You know what I mean?
Last thing I want to say before we end the show here is I just love the idea that Judo Master was like kicked to shit now twice and like one of the times shot and is just being like brought back. Like, from near death, like I hope they just keep this going where Judo Master just keeps fucking
all it takes is a bag of saline and he's fine.
Yeah, I love it. So fucking funny. I mean, but let's know in the comments below what you think about Peacemaker episode 4. We'll return next week for episode 5, and remember, we're doing the Book of Boba Fett as well, and every cool movie trailer that comes out, we're gonna be doing reactions right here on youtube.com/kindoffunny. Write in your thoughts about all of these shows, all these trailers, all these movies, everything at kindoffunny.com/screencast, and we'll talk about them later. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.